Shell V-Power Nitro Plus fuels every drive from Lake Erie to the Ohio River with a fuel like no other. It removes up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits to rejuvenate your engine's performance. That means more power when you need it and more performance with every drive. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. More power, more performance. Chances are you're not far from a Shell station. Download the Shell app to find it. Formulation unique to Shell. In gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors with continuous use of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Gasoline compared to lower octane minimum detergent gasoline. Actual effects and benefits may vary according to vehicle type, driving conditions, and driving style. See shell.us/more for more information.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You like this line? I'm doing great now that I've got you on the phone. Interesting thing to say to your ex-husband. That's incarcerated for taking the lives of 8 S workers that we're aware of. You're doing great now that you got old Rex on the phone. Asa Elrup said that on camera in the Peacock documentary. She was smiling. The man on the other end of the line had been charged, like I said, charged with killing 7, admitted to 8, and Asa Elrup lit up. The sound of his voice hitting the receiver. Boom, lights on. Like he was calling from a work trip. Oh, Rex. Not from the county jail. Not a cell where he sat after being identified as a Gilgo Beach serial killer. Felt more like a work trip. Honey, I got the buffalo wings over at the Applebee's tonight. I'm really missing you. It was a lonely dinner. No. She lit up. Her face looked like relief, warmth, the particular kind of ease that comes from hearing the one person you've been waiting to hear from all day. Rex Heurman pled guilty to 8 murders. He strangled 8 women over 17 years, dismembered 3 of them, and dumped their remains across Long Island. 7 were killed in the basement of the house he shared with Asa. He's now serving 3 consecutive life terms, plus 100 years with no possibility of parole. And since his confession, what his ex-wife has done with that information is a story nobody, I think, can make sense of. Or feel remotely comfortable in observing, even. There's a photo from their wedding, April 1996. Asa is holding or is looking up at Rex, and she told the Peacock cameras that she was thinking in that moment, I finally got him. He's mine. April 1996. Remember that month. We're coming back to it. This is not a piece about Rex Heurman's crimes. You know those. This is about what his ex-wife did after he admitted to them, because the behavioral record Asa Elrup has built on camera, on the phone, and inside that house over the past 3 years tells a story that is hard to look away from. The imprisoned Rex Heurman, the one behind plexiglass, the one who calls on a schedule, the one who cannot disappear, maybe the best version of Rex that Asa has ever had. Have you thought of that? We've touched on it a bit, but I want to really dive into that thought here
in this piece. And I'd love for you to weigh in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description. She said something else on camera that cuts a little deeper than the smile on the recorded call. Something about protecting Rex's feelings. Isn't there a weird nugget there? We'll get there. For 27 years, Rex was gone, not physically gone. He came home, he ate dinner, he lived in that house. But the real Rex, the real one, the deep one, was somewhere else entirely. The one with 120 terabytes of material on 58 hard drives. The one who searched the internet for why could law enforcement not trace the calls. The one who kept a planning document that prosecutors described as a blueprint for how to murder and dispose of a human body. That Rex lived in a world Asa could not see and did not enter. He truly had a double life. He disappeared into it whenever the family left town. And Asa spent decades married to a man who was only partially in the room with her at any given moment. Now he calls on a schedule. She always knows where he is. He can't vanish into his second life. His entire world has shrunk to a phone line and a visitor window for 27 years. Asa tried to hold on to the man who was never fully there. He is now completely inescapably there. He literally cannot leave. She visits when she wants. She takes his calls on her terms. She told the documentary there was comfort in seeing him. That word comfort applied to visiting the confessed serial killer in the county jail. It makes no sense from the outside. It makes complete sense, though, if you understand what she's measuring it against. This is about putting yourself in someone else's shoes, and these are some odd shoes to fill. These are really hard to fill. You're going to need the shoehorn. Have you ever used a shoehorn? I haven't either. Whenever they suggest, do you need a shoehorn, when I'm at the shoe store, I'm like, ah, I'm good, because I couldn't tell you how to use it. Anyway, it's some odd shoes to fill, and it's really hard to do that. It's hard. It takes a little mental gymnastics, but try to follow along with me here, because it's a fascinating journey as we get close to the sun. She's comparing her sense of Rex to the 30 years of a partial Rex. And partial Rex is all she ever knew. He allegedly confessed to her first. The plea deal came or gave him a private meeting with Asa and their daughter Victoria before the courtroom allocation. Sat across from him, she addressed him as Mr. Huerman, her own ex-husband. She asked the number. He said 8. He said 7 were in their basement. He said every murder except the first was planned. He told Victoria the victims weren't real people to him. He said his demons got to him. And Asa reportedly described him as looking very nervous. Very, very nervous. He was very nervous. She noticed his discomfort before she noticed the content of what he was telling her. That's how deep the caretaking runs. Rex was on a speakerphone with a family and their therapist. Asa and Victoria were in the room. And Rex, in a jail cell, on a recorded line on camera, ordered his stepson, Christopher, to start the conversation. The other two are going to sit there and stare at each other for a good 20 minutes before either one of them says anything. Encouraging his son with disabilities, or I guess passive aggressively degrading the few folks who were left around him to get them to talk, to make him feel good about himself. That was on the docket. 6'4". 250 pounds, stuffed into a jumpsuit behind bars, and he's still arranging the room, still directing the people around him when to talk, still telling Asa who she is. The dynamic between them really hasn't changed. The container has. And Asa can't see the difference, because for her, it's never really been one. The family therapist who worked with the Huermans over 2 years said something on the Peacock doc that really should reframe every conversation about Asa She said for Asa, it wasn't denial. It was real. Whatever Rex told her became her operating reality. He didn't just hide what he was doing. He built the world she lived in, every wall, every belief she held about who he was and what their marriage meant. He filled that world with a version of himself that made the real Rex invisible. But Rex didn't build from scratch. The foundation was already fractured. Asa was adopted, never bonded with her adoptive family. She was assaulted at 16. She attempted to end her own life before she was out of her teens. Her first marriage to another man collapsed, and she said on camera that her ex-husband became somebody completely different after their son was born. Then Rex showed up. She'd met him when she was 18, but they didn't get together until years later while she was going through the divorce. Rex paid for her divorce lawyer. He told her to move in. He said he'd handle everything. For a woman who'd never once felt safe in her own skin, that offer was not romance. It was oxygen. And she had nothing to compare it to. No healthy relationship in her history to hold up next to this one and say, wait a second, something's off here. And that's important. The world was always slightly off. She couldn't tell because she'd never been in a world that was on. That's why her post-confession behavior doesn't register as bizarre inside her own experience. Visiting a confessed serial killer 12 times after hearing the number, she's maintaining the one stable relationship she's ever had. Telling cameras she wants to understand this other side of Rex. She's not compartmentalizing, she's integrating. She cannot reject Rex entirely because rejecting Rex means rejecting the only life she's ever built. So she adds a chapter. There was the Rex who provided, the Rex who was the family man. Now there's the Rex who killed. She's not splitting him into two people who cannot coexist. She's stacking them into one person with a new chapter. And stacking means staying close, because if she walks away, the old chapters collapse. The 30 years of identity she built inside Rex's world cease to exist. The marriage, the daughter, the house, the version of herself that made sense inside his architecture, all of it disintegrates. Integration lets it survive. It just has to expand. She gutted the room. New floors, new walls, new molding, new doors. Then she put in green Hello Kitty bedspreads, shelves of stuffed animals, panda bears, floral paintings, and a cross on the wall. She told the documentary it was spiritual. She said she was trying to say spiritually in my own way that I am really sorry for what these victims went through. She said she moved in about a month before Rex pled guilty. She said she's haunted by dreams every night. She said it will never go away. I get it. You see it, and your first reaction is that something is profoundly wrong. And something is profoundly wrong. But again, consider what that basement room has always been to Asa. It was Rex's childhood bedroom, his locked space, his domain. The room she didn't enter, moving into it is the most assertive act of her adult life. She is claiming territory that was never hers. She is doing the same thing to the room that she is doing to Rex's memory. New surfaces over old horrors. Taking the worst space in the house and making it hers. Not saying it's right or healthy, but that's what's happening. Inside her frame, that is not madness. Inside her frame, that is control. Probably the first real control she's ever exercised over any room Rex occupied. She genuinely does not understand that the rest of the world sees stuffed animals on shelves where evidence technicians worked and feels their stomach drop. Because inside the world Rex built for her, renovation is recovery. You take what's broken and you make it yours. Now, the phone call detail I was talking about earlier. Asa told the documentary, I'm talking to him all the time, but he only has a certain amount of time he can be able to make calls. So I can't get too comfortable talking to him about things that are going to hurt him, like telling him that I love him. That will hurt him. The direction of the concern matters here. Rex Huerman confessed to strangling eight women. He told his own daughter the victims were not real people to him. He described his motivation as demons, and Asa's primary concern on the phone is making sure she doesn't say the wrong thing to him. Not confronting him, not demanding real answers, managing his emotional comfort, making sure that hearing "I love you" from the woman he married doesn't cause him pain. For 30 years, Asa's role in this relationship was to maintain Rex's environment, to keep things smooth, not to push too hard. Or at all. To not ask the question that makes the room uncomfortable. The confession changed the subject matter. It did not change the role. She's still managing Rex's emotional comfort. She's still orienting herself around his needs. The relationship still runs through him. It always has, and it probably always will. Asa said, "I do what I had to do to protect myself and my children." She said that about her entire marriage. She stayed away from the sentencing. Her attorney said she believed the day should belong to the families. Through her attorney, she said, Rex got what he deserved. The public statements, some of those say the right things. The behavior says something else entirely. Got what he deserved as quickly as you're like, "Hello, Mr. Hiraman." She moved into the room where they died and asked a camera crew to come in and film it. She reportedly earned over $1 million from the Peacock doc about the murder. She visited the man who committed them at least 12 times after hearing his confession. She told the cameras she wanted to understand him. Asa Alrup's history is devastating. The psychological forces at work are real and documented by the family's own therapist on camera. No reasonable person looks at her background and says, "None of this matters." It all matters. But empathy and accountability live in the same room. She maintains a relationship with a confessed serial killer on her own terms. She monetized his story for over $1 million, allegedly. She told cameras she wanted to understand the other side of him. She orients her emotional life around his comfort. At some point, that's not just a trauma response. That's a woman making choices, building a narrative, and every chapter of that narrative still has Rex Huerman at the center. "I finally got him. He's mine." April 1996. According to the Suffolk County District Attorney, Rex Hiraman strangled and dismembered Karen Vergata that same month. Vergata was 34 years old. She was a mother of two. Had been taken. Her sons had been taken by child welfare services. She was working as an escort in Hell's Kitchen. The last time her family heard from her was Valentine's Day. She called her father on his birthday. Her legs were found in a garbage bag on Fire Island by two brothers looking for driftwood. Rex had already killed Sandra Costella in 93 before the marriage. So when Asa looked up at him in that wedding photo and thought, "I finally got him," she was looking at a man who'd killed one woman and was killing another the same month he married her. She did not get him. She got the version he constructed for her. And she's been holding on to that version for 30 years. The provider, the family man, the one who calls, the one who needs her, even now that she knows the other one exists. Rex Hiraman is in state prison. Asa Alrup is in his basement. And the distance between those two locations, one in a cell, the other one, a room she renovated to look like it belongs to someone who's never been hurt, is the smallest gap in the entire story. Smaller than the gap between who Rex was and who Asa thought he was. Smaller than the gap between what she says to her attorney and what she does on camera. Because both of them are now exactly where the other one needs them to be. The best Rex Hiraman Asa has ever had is the best Rex precisely because he can't do the one thing that made him the worst: disappear. He's locked in a cell. He calls when they let him. He needs her for every small connection to the world outside those walls. And she spent her entire adult life trying to hold someone who was never fully there. Now he is, for the first time in 3 decades. Rex Hiraman has nowhere else to go, no second life, no basement. she can't enter. No planning documents she'll never find. Just a phone line and a visitor window and a woman who will always pick up. She finally has him. He's hers. And the fact that she cannot see how that reads to the rest of the world is the last proof that the world Rex built never came down. She just remodeled it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in, and we will continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.